Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 10, Opulence of the Absolute. Text number 10. Tesham Saratam Yuktanam Bhajantam Priti Purvakam Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te Tesham Saratam Yuktanam Bhajantam Priti Purvakam Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te Tesham. Unto them, Satatam Yuktanam, always engaged, Bhajatam, in rendering devotional service, Priti Purvakam, in loving ecstasy, Tadami, I give. Buddhi Yogam, real intelligence, Tam, that, Yena, by which, Mam, unto me, Upayanti, come, Te, they. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. For put in this verse, the word Buddhi Yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things, that he would instruct him in the way of Buddhi Yoga. Now Buddhi Yoga is explained. Buddhi Yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called Buddhi Yoga. In other words, Buddhi Yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna, and when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life, but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he is acting in Jnana Yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in Bhakti Yoga or Buddhi Yoga, which is a complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately to attain to Him. Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajantam pratipurvakam Tadami Buddha Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayanti Te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Namo Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvisesa Shrunivadi Paskatya Deyasitarne. And the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Savai Pumso Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktiya Ahokshige Ahaitu Kyapratiyata Yatma Suprasidati. So that dharma or occupation, which is the supreme occupation for all humanity, is that by which one renders devotional service to the Supreme Lord. That service should be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So here this is a similar verse, uninterrupted and unmotivated. In other words, constantly devoted and with love for Krishna. This is also part of the definition by Rupa Goswami. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana karma niravritam anukulena krishna anu shilanam bhakti uttama. The devotional service of Krishna should be without material motivation. Anya bilasita shunyam. Completely devoid of all kinds of materialistic activities. And although when they engage in jnana or karma or other types of activities in the material world, they should not cover devotional service. That is, one may engage in activities, but those activities should be with love for Krishna. Not that the activity should cover bhakti, but bhakti should be not impeded by the activities that we perform. And the activity should be anukulena, it should be pleasing to Krishna, and Krishna anushilanam, bhakti uttama. And it should be done with the attitude of pleasing Krishna. There are demons, for instance, Dantravakra, who fought against Krishna for a whole day, so that Krishna was actually very happy. But the attitude of the demon, Dantravakra, was not to please Krishna, it was to kill Krishna. So not only has to be pleasing to Krishna, but it also has to be with an attitude of pleasing Krishna. So if one does that, then the result is Buddha Yogam Tam. Then Krishna, who's in everyone's heart, he gives one the intelligence by which one can come to him. Of course, Krishna, he's giving everyone intelligence. It is not only to the devotee he's giving intelligence. He says, Sarvaschichaham ridhi sanivishto matatsmritira jnanam apoanam cha. So everyone is receiving intelligence coming from Krishna according to their desire. So those who are in the bodily conception of life, they naturally are conditioned by certain material desires, mental and physical. And Krishna rewards them according to their desires. Of course, their desires are conditioned, but because they're in this material conception of life, I am this body, therefore naturally they try to satisfy the demands of the senses and the mind, and Krishna also awards those demands. But for one who's in Krishna consciousness, one who knows that he's not this body, then he dovetails his desires as that of Krishna's and becomes eligible eventually to become free from all entanglement and go back to the spiritual world. The devotee, the only thing he's giving up is his material entanglement. It is, although we may be attached to this body now and attached to our material conception of life, but actually this material conception of life is simply an imprisonment for the soul. He's bound by a gross and subtle body, which are simply meant not for his enjoyment, but are actually they're meant for his imprisonment in the material world. So if he surrenders this gross and subtle body to the service of Krishna, then he develops a spiritual body and attains complete freedom in the spiritual world to engage in his natural occupation of loving service to Krishna. So here it mentions there are different stages of coming to this platform. That in the beginning one should develop faith that in Krishna consciousness. So, people in general don't know that the ultimate goal of life is to reach Krishna. Therefore, as it says here, the association of devotees is very important. Because according to who we associate with, naturally will develop their qualities. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yanti deva vrata devan pitri yanti pitri vrataha. Bhutani yanti puteja yanti madhyajino pima. That those who are worshippers of the demigods, they go to the demigods. So we find that generally demigod worshippers, they gather together, they execute their sacrifices. If one goes to India, one will find that they have big Kali Puja. One tape, Prabhupada in Calcutta, there's a big Kali Puja going on. And in the background, they were singing one of their theme songs for Kali Puja. That the hills are alive with the sound of music. You heard that? That song? Songs, I forget, this comes from the sound of music. There was some play. The hills are alive with the sound of music. Songs which is sung for 1,000 years, something like that. It's very... Anyhow, they sing all these mundane songs because demigod worship is quite mundane. So it doesn't really matter. Whatever they sing is all right. Practically speaking, that's what they believe at least. But in any case, they gather together and have huge celebrations in Calcutta, all around India, to worship the demigods, especially Durga. Even in Vrindavan, sometimes they have the Durga Puja festivals. And others who are worshiping ghosts, as we said before, ghost worship is very popular. People stay up all night telling ghost stories, become very enlivened by telling them. Because most people are more or less ghostly haunted, so it's natural to tell ghost stories. And others are interested in worshiping their ancestors, especially in China. Everyone has on their altar, they have a picture of their grandmother and grandfather, their mother and father. This is very popular. But ultimately, all these different types of worship, of course, nowadays people worship their car, or they worship their dog. So the type of worship is gradually degrading. A man is considered a very noble human being if he worships his dog nowadays. But actual worship is meant for Krishna. And how should that worship should be performed? It uninterrupted. So people find this very hard to understand. It seems like a very bitter thing. That uninterrupted worship to one person, that means you can't go to the, I don't know, they play here soccer? What is the popular sport here? Soccer. Sorry. That means you can't go to the soccer game. You can't even watch it on television. You can't go to the pizza parlor. You can't gamble. All these things, if you got to worship only one thing, people think, oh, you'll become very bored. That you're going to have to force your mind to think of one thing all the time. Then it's going to be very boring. It's going to be, you'll go crazy after some time trying to do it because there won't be any real pleasure in it. Real pleasure comes from variety. So people think like that, constantly devoted, oh, that is very, very difficult. They think that here in the Hare Krishna movement, we're denying ourselves the prime pleasures of life. And actually all day long we're constantly thinking of these things, but we're just trying to stop ourselves from trying to fulfill our desires. That we're torturing ourselves here in the Hare Krishna movement by not allowing ourselves to fulfill our material desires. And all day long we're blindly chanting some mantra, some sound vibration which blocks out our mind. So we can't think of all these things we want to actually think about and fulfill our desires. They think that this mantra, this Hare Krishna mantra, is simply to block our minds so we can't think. Because as soon as we start thinking, then we'd want to fulfill that desire. And because we're not doing that, we go crazy. So to prevent ourselves from going crazy, we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. there was one deprogrammer and one, he said, they got to chant, because if they stop chanting, they'll start thinking. Oh no, a thought's coming. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, start to think for a second. Who knows what would have happened? So this is the material conception of life. But here it says constantly devoted. That is, and worshiping Krishna with love. Bhishma David said that love means to think of one object constantly, or there should be one object of love. To focus all one's love upon one person. That is the definition of love. So, in the material world, everyone's engaged in bhoga tyaga. One time they're trying to enjoy something, the next time they become detached from it. So this is the alternating material attachment and aversion to something. But here in Krishna consciousness, it's the idea of focusing one's attention and then giving one's love to Krishna. So this idea of constantly devoted to Krishna is the beginning of developing our love for Him. And then the more one is able to constantly focus his consciousness upon Krishna, then the more he's able to develop his unalloyed love for Krishna also. These are almost like the two aspects of knowledge and philosophy and religion. By philosophy, one can understand the necessity of constantly engaging himself in devotional service and remaining aloof from sense gratification. And by devotion or religion, one is able to develop his unalloyed love, expand his love unlimitedly. So here it says, in the beginning, generally one takes the devotional service. Although he knows that the object is Krishna, the goal is Krishna, but he's addicted to the fruits of his activities. He always thinks, what am I getting back for it? That I'm serving Krishna, but what am I going to get for in return for my service? He's addicted to the fruits of his activities. At first he makes sure that he's getting enough to eat, and then when he's confident, he's a nice place to sleep. Then he wants some prestige, he wants some adoration, some distinction. He may want even a wife or whatever. There may be so many desires that one wants. And then after surpassing that stage, becoming a little free from wanting things in return, then he may be addicted to mental speculation to try and understand Krishna. These things are not bad, but he takes the philosophical speculation and tries to understand the philosophy. But ultimately, the ultimate goal of all this work that we're doing, activities that we're doing, or understanding we're trying to come to, is simply so we can think of Krishna and give our love to him. Just like the gopis, they didn't understand so much about Krishna. All they knew is that they love Krishna. And because they love Krishna, constantly throughout the 24 hours a day, they think of Krishna. And in this way, they realize Krishna, how nice Krishna is, how Krishna is playing on his flute, how Krishna has a peacock feather in his hair, how Krishna is herding the cows with the cowherd boys, how Krishna is dancing the Rasa dance. So in this way, constantly they think about Krishna, and whatever activity they were doing, they would be absorbed in loving service to Krishna. So buddhi yoga, or devotional service, that is the highest perfectional stage. That is pure intelligence directed towards Krishna, unimpeded by karma or jnana or yoga. Unimpeded by worrying about the results of our work, or speculating about who Krishna really is, or if I'm really this body or not, or how Krishna is, so many speculations. Of course, these type of speculations are better than speculating whether I should perform sinful activities or not. That's another type of speculation. But if one elevates himself beyond this, what's going to happen the next moment, and beyond the idea of trying to figure out what it's all about, simply to, without hesitation, and fully giving one's energy towards thinking about Krishna and loving Krishna, that's called buddhi yoga. So here it says that even if a person doesn't know so much philosophy. He may not be a great thinker, but if he agrees simply to love Krishna and perform service to him, then he makes progress in devotional service. But that's all that's necessary. Simply to be convinced that I have no goal in life, save and accept, act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. If one can simply accept that, then he surpasses the greatest philosophers. Because that's all that one really has to be convinced about to go back to Godhead. And one should work under Krishna's authorized representatives so he knows what is actually pleasing to Krishna. Not that we speculate and do whatever whimsical thing that comes to our mind and try to offer that to Krishna. No, one should know for certain what is pleasing to Krishna and then sincerely try to do that. Of course, as we know, what is most pleasing to Krishna is simply to love Krishna, but there are activities which will not be necessarily activities which will develop our love. But just like when Krishna went to Vidura after he was at the assembly of the Kauravas. The Kauravas, Krishna went as a peace messenger on behalf of Yudhisthira Maharaj and the Pandavas to try to make peace with Duryodhana and his brothers. So Duryodhana, being a rascal that he was, he thought that let us capture Krishna because he's actually on the side of the Pandavas. So they were thinking that Krishna will present his demands and afterwards we'll get our army and we'll capture him. So, of course, during this time Krishna showed his universal form with Lord Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, all the planetary systems, all the planets and all the demigods were there in the palace of the Kauravas. So Duryodhana didn't really believe it was going on. He thought it was just an illusion. And anyhow, they figured it would be difficult to capture him at that particular moment. It was kind of hard to capture the whole universe. So Krishna, he left at that moment. The Kauravas gave up the idea of capturing Krishna. And he went to the house of Vidura. And Vidura was so overwhelmed in ecstasy to see Krishna that he began to feed Krishna bananas. But instead of giving him the banana, he took the banana and threw it away and gave him the peel. So Krishna began to eat the peels. But it was offered with such great ecstasy and love that Krishna was very happy and satisfied eating the peels. And then after some time, Vidura realized what he was doing and began to offer the bananas instead. So Krishna, what he wants is our feeling, our love, so that we have to try to develop. So of course, for instance, we have the deity here, and the idea is that by serving the deity is none different from Krishna, and we can give our love to him in that way. But not that we think that here is a deity, so much botheration, you know, offering so many offerings a day we have to make to the deity, we have to be clean, we have to be punctual, we have to be reverent. It is too much of a botheration. I think I'll do something else. No, actually, Krishna has given us engagements by which if we properly perform them, then we can develop our love for him. So the engagement has to be correct. One has to perform the engagement as authorized by the acharyas, as they've directed. And then those engagements will, in every respect, help us control our mind and senses and remain on the platform of Krishna consciousness, where one can develop his feelings towards Krishna. Otherwise, if we neglect these engagements, then there will be no possibility of controlling the mind and senses and remain on the platform of Krishna consciousness where we can actually develop our feelings of love towards Krishna. So I think we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Of course, the engagement, principal engagement, is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And to preach Krishna consciousness to others, to get others to chant the Hare Krishna mantra too, and spread Krishna consciousness. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yeah. Well, it depends where his consciousness is. But if he's a devotee, it's, of course, it's bhakti. But if he's analyzing, trying to figure out what it's all about, like that, that's called jnana yoga. But if there's some feeling of love, then it's called bhakti yoga. Of course, it's all bhakti. Jnana yoga is the path leading to bhakti yoga. The whole aim of analyzing is not to screw some meaning out of it, or to try and figure out what, you know, trying to find some fault in it. Look at that, there's a contradiction. I knew it all along, it's not true at all. I can go back to my mother now and enjoy. That's not even jnana yoga, that's just mental speculation. But if one tries to figure out some meaning, that's called jnana yoga. Try to understand it, and that will lead one to bhakti yoga. To actually some feelings, some towards Krishna. Yes.
I think it's sometimes very difficult to feel love for Krishna, especially when you follow a certain instruction. For example, chanting, listening to, concentrating on the sound vibration while chanting makes it. I have a feeling, well, I'm just locking myself, locking everything out and concentrating on the name, and I don't feel like it. It's not.
What would you rather do? Would you rather think about?
No, it's just, well, I would not do that much.
So that which in the beginning is bitter like poison, and the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So if you're not going to think of Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, what are you going to think about? What in the material world do you want to love?
No, it's not that I don't think about Krishna, but I want to think about Krishna, but I was told what was the most important, I asked about to someone. What's most important? And he said, listening to the sound vibration is more important than thinking about Krishna.
But what is the sound vibration?
Yeah, that's what he said also.
Well, he was right.
Yeah. So I have to also look out thoughts about Krishna.
Well, if you hear the sound vibration of Krishna, if you hear it, and of course if there's some attentively, then naturally you'll think of Krishna. Just like we've given the example before, if you chant the name of Mickey Mouse, then naturally you'll remember the form of a mouse. Isn't that right? It's not so difficult.
No, but when you're thinking about, for example, Mickey Mouse, then you cannot at the same time listen to your words.
Why?
When I think about Krishna, I cannot at the same time listen to the words of Krishna.
Krishna doesn't mean some letters of the alphabet. Mm-hmm. But when you chant attentively, then naturally you'll think Krishna's form will come to mind. Mm-hmm. But that takes some practice. First we should just hear, try and hear nicely. And if we hear nicely, at least we'll become peaceful. If we don't become disturbed, distracted by all these thoughts. And then after a while, one can develop his chanting even nicer. Some feeling towards the chanting. Of course, if you're chanting like in a mood, this is terrible. If you start thinking in the beginning, oh, this is going to be a heavy task, chanting this mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. You think like that, and of course, you know, at the end, well, that was a heavy task, but I thought it would have been easy to join the military, you know, chant. Hit, hit, one, two, three, four, one, two, three. If we're thinking like that, of course, you know, then it's just some letters of the alphabet we're chanting. But it's all the energy of the Lord, all the Supreme Lord, kindly engaged in devotional service. So we should chant to Krishna as a person. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And try and hear. And also feel the sound vibration, try and become absorbed in it. And if we do that, then the result is natural to think of Krishna. We'll remember his form, and then we'll be able to enter more and more into his pastimes, etc. So we should have the proper attitude. We shouldn't think, well, there's 2 hours of this, and I didn't like it yesterday, I probably won't like it today either. My mind's going to disturb me the whole time. I'll think of a million things. My mind will wander here and there. I'll try and chant in the back, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So you just have to chant with some feeling. Be convinced Krishna and Krishna is right there. He's hearing you. So chant to Krishna that I want to engage in your loving service. So chant with a little, try and chant with a little feeling and attention. What's that?
So I don't have to look out my thoughts
about Krishna. They'll naturally come.
What?
Naturally they'll come. What do you mean by looking out for your thoughts about Krishna?
I don't have to lock them out.
Lock them out?
So much concentrating on the name that there are no thoughts about Krishna.
Well, the name is Krishna. And the thoughts about Krishna are Krishna. But not that we should... In other words, if you think of Krishna's form, you think, oh no, there comes the form again. It's interfering with my hearing the name. No, the name and the form are not different. Just like when you say Mickey Mouse, if you think of the form, do you think Mickey Mouse is different from his name? The form is different from the name? No, you know, the form... Just like your name... And now, your name and form, what is the difference? Of course, there is a difference. There's a difference between ourselves and the name and the form and the name in one sense. But in the other sense, even in the material world, they're the same. As soon as you see a person, you remember his name. And if you remember his name, then you remember his form. Then you may remember his quality and activities also. Just like we don't think, if we hear the name of, like, George Washington, then automatically there's some form that comes into mind. Or Jesus Christ, then we think of a form. Immediately one will see a cross and seeing someone nailed to a cross generally. Or maybe one who's a little bit more devotional will think of some other activity with some lamb or something. So we're brought up like that, but we're a little... We haven't had so much experience chanting Krishna's name and thinking of Krishna's form and quality and pastimes, but that's what we're trying to do here. Because if one does that, then he'll actually become enlightened, the more he learns how to do that nicely. And the more he'll actually feel transcendental pleasure, if he learns how to do it properly. And if we're not feeling enlightened and transcendental pleasure after chanting, then it's because we're not doing it properly. It's not due to the chanting, it's due to our inexperience of how to do it properly. Yes. Yeah, if you determination is a function of the soul through the body with his intelligence. The soul's effort to use his intelligence is called determination. So as far as the bodily, because determination is the product of the use of intelligence. Therefore, anything that blocks the intelligence will also block determination, or that covers intelligence. For instance, if one engages in sense gratification, his intelligence becomes covered, therefore he loses his determination. So it says that if one engages in illicit sex life, then he can't be determined. His intelligence will become covered by material desires. But if one engages in Krishna consciousness properly and gets a higher taste and enlightenment, then it becomes determined to go on with this, with that engagement. So by following Krishna's directions, then one becomes more determined. And by engaging in sense gratification, unrestricted sense gratification, one loses determination. Because without intelligence, without proper intelligence, one won't have a determination, real determination. Of course, we find that people do become determined. They fix their intelligence in a certain way to get a certain material objective. But after they get it, then they lose all the, then they try, want to enjoy sense gratification, they lose all their determination. So as far as I understand, as I said, determination is a function of the it's dependent on the intelligence, because it gives direction to the soul. So if the intelligence becomes covered, then the living entity loses his real determination, at least to go back to Godhead. And even if he develops some determination due to his covered intelligence for sense gratification, after he achieves his objective, then he'll try to enjoy and he'll lose all his determination. Yes. Then how are you going to, if you don't know the description from the Shastras, how are you going to get any, how are you going to know what his form is? It doesn't work. If you don't know what the description of the form is, it won't work. You'll think of some burning bush or some, you know, bird in the sky. So therefore, Prabhupada had all these artists paint all these paintings. We have the form of the we have the deities. So that when we chant Krishna's name, we'll remember one of these, hopefully. It just won't come. Therefore it says that Krishna personally came, so people don't have to speculate on what he looks like. We can't imagine what Krishna looks like. He looks a certain way. And therefore, when the painters, they try to paint according to the authorized descriptions, Krishna appears in that form. So if we're chanting, we remember one of these authorized pictures, or the form of the deity, or the form, the description, the words in the books, how they're, how Krishna is described, and that's all bona fide. There's also could be, there are different types of deities. Some of them are made out of paint, some of them are made out of wood, some of them are made out of jewels. And also there's a deity in the mind. So within your mind, if you can paint the form of the deity also, that's also Krishna appearing within your mind. Yeah, Krishna is very, he can expand himself in different ways. But it's still Krishna. One time one of the artists, he asked Prabhupada, which is the best picture of Krishna? And Prabhupada said, they're all the same, they're all Krishna. And then he decided, all right. So he took one of these children's drawings and he showed it to Prabhupada. You know, one of these stick figures, a little circle and a little peacock feather. And they said, what about this, Prabhupada? He said, this is also Krishna. So you see this peacock feather and there's the flute. So this is also Krishna. You have a half a question?
No, I think that God meant it was false. One of Prabhupada mentioned is that the mind is taken and therefore it's not its affirmation on the force of people of Krishna.
Yeah, you should use determination. That was, as it says in the sixth chapter, verse number Shanai Shanaru Paramat Budhya Driti Grihitaya Atma Samstamana Kritva Na Kinshit Api Chintayat. Therefore, gradually, step by step, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence, sustained by full conviction, and thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. So if we have full conviction, we have conviction in Krishna consciousness, which is known as faith, then we'll by force we'll put the mind on Krishna. We'll direct our mind towards thinking of Krishna. The soul has the ability to make some effort. How he makes that effort, that's up to him. It's not that it all comes automatically. We have to make an effort. Because making an effort doesn't mean a blind effort or simply, but it means we have to do what's necessary to actually meditate on Krishna, to come to the platform of meditation on Krishna. We'll stop there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.